55 this morning. Isaiah 55. In verse 10, it says, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." In this case, now in other scriptures, Jesus, for instance, in the parable of the sower, says the word of God is like what? It's like the seed, right? But in this instance, in this case, God says, my word is like the rain and like the snow that comes down from heaven, and it activates. What does the rain and the snow do? He said, in this case, it activates something that's already there. It activates the seed that's there, and it causes what's in the ground to come up, to bring forth and bud, that it may produce a result, that it may accomplish something, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. In other words, that cycle of life and productivity is produced there and is propagated there because of the rain and the snow, which God says is like my word. He says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me void, and void means empty. He said, but it will accomplish what I please, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Just like he sends the rain and the snow, he sends his word. In fact, in Psalm 107, he said he sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. So God's word will accomplish what he sent it to do or to carry out. Amen.
Amen.
And then in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12, if you'll look at this one with me, in Jeremiah 1 and verse 12, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am ready to perform my word. I believe it's the King James there. One translation said, I'm watching over my word. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Here he says, you have seen well, for I'm ready to perform my word. So what does God say that he'll perform here?
His word.
He will perform his word. Amen. He will perform his word. And so when we pray the word of God, then what we're doing, when we take what God has said, and this is what I want to talk to you about this morning, when we take the word of God and we make a prayer of the word of God, and we return, so what we're doing is we're returning his words to him in prayer. He said his word would not return to him void. Amen. When we return those words to him in prayer, then he says his words will not come back to him empty. In other words, there's power in those words. In other words, results are produced when we pray according to the word of God. And we said God watches over his word. He's ready to perform his word. He watches over it. And God does that. God performs his word in the life of the believer who takes his word and prays it over situations in his or her life. Amen?
Amen?
Praise God. So I want to talk to you this morning about the power of praying God's word.
Amen.
The power of praying God's word. Now, you may not know this, but I was the last. They gave me, I won a prize. Did y'all know about this? I won a prize recently. About 2 months ago, I signed up for Facebook. I opened up a Facebook account, and they notified me. They said, you are the last human being to sign up for Facebook. Everybody else on the earth has Facebook but you. And now that you're in, you don't have one yet, Linda? Well, see, you're off the grid. They don't even know about you. That's pretty smart. That's pretty good to be so far, to be off the grid like that, to where they can't even, you know, they can't even find her. They didn't know she existed. They thought I was the last one. And they sent me an award for being the last person, last human being to sign up for Facebook. Right. I'm teasing about that part of it. I did sign up for Facebook about 2 months ago. One thing I've observed on Facebook, which really didn't surprise me, is that there's a lot of spiritual ignorance on Facebook. Because Facebook is really just a reflection of life, right? Of people, right? Now, there's a lot of good things, too. And it's, you know, it's just like your mother told you when you were growing up, choose your friends wisely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So if you'll choose your Facebook friends wisely, you won't get a bunch of that junk. You won't have to put up with a bunch of the junk. And be careful who you follow. You know? So even some people that I'm friends with, I've had to decide to unfollow them because I just didn't want to read the negativity every day and the junk. All right, but you know, it starts with choosing your friends wisely. So, but anyway, I found out there's a lot of spiritual ignorance, and I'm not saying this from a superiority standpoint. I don't mean that. And a lot of ignorance in regard to prayer and to effective praying. And again, it's a reflection of life, of our society and our culture. So I want to talk about how we can pray effectively. And the most effective way I've found to pray is by praying the Word of God. Amen. By taking God's Word and making a prayer from God's Word and returning that back to Him. Amen. So I want to ask you this morning, what about your prayer life? Is it as effective as you want it to be? Is your prayer life as effective as you want it to be? So I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. I don't want you to hang your head and say no, you know. But just ask yourself that question. Is your prayer life as effective as you want it to be? And if the answer is no, then why not? Why is it not as effective as you want it to be? Now, by effective, I don't mean this. I don't mean, you get instant answers. Every time you pray, the answer manifests within 3 minutes and 13 seconds. Because that's not going to happen for anybody. That's not what I'm talking about of your prayer life being more effective. There's some things that it takes weeks, months, and years. And so I'm not talking about instant answers every time you pray, but I am talking about what the Scripture says and what God promises, that we should expect answers to our prayer. We should expect the power of God to go into operation in situations and circumstances that we pray about, because the Bible teaches that. The New Testament promises that. Amen?
Yes, amen.
But effective prayer is something that we have to develop in. It's not something that will happen overnight. But I can testify to you that if you'll stay with it, you can develop into becoming an effective prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So I want to share in that, I want to share a little bit of my journey of prayer. And my prayer journey really began, I can say, when I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I didn't do much praying before that, to be honest with you. But after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, man, this whole Christian experience came alive to me. And so that's where my prayer journey really started, and is being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I got a scripture that I want to share with you about that. Romans 8, verse 26, it says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So the Holy Spirit's our helper. I mean, he's talking about prayer here. He says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Holy Spirit is our helper in prayer. Verse 27 says, now He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now, this is talking about specifically, it's talking about the Holy Spirit helping us in prayer with groanings which cannot be uttered. And as we've pointed out, Dad Hagin shared it with us, and P.C. Dad Nelson, P.C. Nelson is who he heard it from, but P.C. Nelson was a noted linguistics expert. He could read and write 32 languages. That's pretty good, isn't it? And he was employed by the government during World War I and II, I think, to assist with translation and things like that. And so, but Dad Nelson, he started out as a Baptist minister and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And Dad Nelson said this. He said that the word there for groanings, which cannot be uttered, he said literally in the Greek, it said which cannot be uttered in articulate speech, and that would include praying in other tongues. And so we know that praying in tongues is a valuable tool in praying correctly and praying effectively. But also, I found this out, that once I was filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened to me was the Word of God became alive.
Yeah,
the Word of God became alive to me. Yeah. And I found out, and it continues today, the Holy Spirit would guide me and does guide me to specific scriptures to pray and to speak over my life and over situations. So that's the Holy Spirit helping us to pray as well.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And He always leads us. The Holy Spirit always leads us in line with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. So look at, here's another scripture, John 14. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So the Holy Spirit is our teacher.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. He says, he will teach you all things. He reveals the will of God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians and he says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has planned and prepared for those who love him." A lot of times we stop reading right there and say, "Yeah, I guess we just don't know." But the next verse says, "But God has revealed them to us by his Spirit." So God wants you to know. The Holy Spirit reveals truth to us. He guides us into truth. Amen. And it says he will bring to our remembrance all things that Jesus has said to us. So he'll bring to our remembrance when we need it. He'll bring to our remembrance, not just in prayer, but certainly in prayer. He'll bring to our remembrance scriptures that we can stand on. Scriptures that we can pray. Amen? Praise God. Have you ever had him do that for you? Amen? Well, he wants to help you. He wants to be your helper in prayer. Amen? You know, people mean well, but a lot of times, you know, they think if they can just get, you know, enough people praying for them. You know, if we can just get, you know, 3,000 people to pray. Well, that's great, but I'd rather have three people praying effectively. I'd rather have three people praying according to the Word of God and the will of God than 3,000 people just saying, "Oh, God, do something." Now, God, you know, he's merciful and he meets us where we're at. But the most effective way we can pray is when we bring his Word to him. He's watching over that word to perform it. Amen. Amen? Amen? Praise God. And so, the first thing that happened is I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then the second thing, I shortly after that, I was exposed to the message of faith, Dad Hagin's teaching, Brother Copeland's teaching.
Amen.
And then also around that, at that same time, actually firsthand, the people that were responsible for the prayers that avail much. Does anybody have any of those books? You know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand if you know when I say prayers that avail much. Raise your hand. See, about maybe two-thirds. So for the rest of you, prayers that avail much, and I've alluded to this and talked about this in the past, is a series of books that began as one book, which began by a group of ladies that gathered together to begin, and they began to pray for their families. They begin to pray about situations in their families and in their lives. And they got a hold of this truth that we can take the scripture, we can take the word of God, and we can pray God's word back to him. Amen. The leader of that group was a lady named Jermaine Copeland. And she's still around today and still going strong. And then there were others in that group. And another lady in that group was a lady named Jan Duncan. And Jan's husband, Earl, was a mentor of mine. Jan and Earl together were a mentor of mine growing up as I was filled with the Spirit and learning the things of God. And so I knew them personally. And so the first copy of prayers that they brought these prayers together, and they decided to make a book, and they called it Prayers That Avail Much from James 5. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so they put it together they self-published it with comb binding. Do you know what the plastic comb binding is? We used to sell that at the office supply company I worked for. But they self-published it with that comb binding. And that's the first copy that I had of Prayers That Avail Much. Well, it wasn't long until a major publishing company, Harrison House, the number one Spirit-filled Word of Faith publishing company in America, picked that book up and they published it. And it sold, I don't know how many, hundreds of thousands, maybe even millions of copies. And then there was a demand for it. Well, you've got to write more prayers. What about prayers for this? What about prayers for that? So they came up with Prayers That Avail Much, Volume 2. Then Prayers That Avail Much for this and for that. And I don't know how many different variations of the book that they have, but there's been millions of copies sold. I think it's probably been translated into several languages now. But that really changed my prayer life and really changed my entire spiritual life to learn to pray the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And that became my foundation, and it's still it still to this day is my spiritual anchor is praying the Word of God.
Amen.
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 Praise God. Now let's look at some more scripture here. So this principle of praying the Word of God, we see it in both the Old Testament and we see it, of course, in the New Testament. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, Isaiah 43, 25, he says, I, even I, am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Is anybody happy about that today? God says, I blot out your transgressions for my own sake. Amen. And I will not remember your sins. God says, I'm blotting out your transgressions, not for our sake. He said, I'm doing it for, he says, I'm doing it for my sake. In other words, he does it for his own sake. Why? Because he wants to bless us. Because he wants to deal with us in mercy. Amen. Hallelujah. And he wants to use us for his glory. And he says, I will not remember your sins. Then verse 26, he says this. Look at this. He says, put me in remembrance. Put me in remembrance. Well, does God have a bad memory? Sometimes people will tell me something, you know, especially when they're leaving church, and I'll say, would you please email that to me or would you text me so I'll remember that? I might forget it that you just... But God doesn't have a bad memory. And I'm not confessing I have a bad memory. I'm just confessing that I'm a human being. Amen. But God has a perfect memory. Amen. Amen. He doesn't need to be reminded for his sake. What do we put him in remembrance of? We put him in remembrance of his word. Amen. And it's not for his sake. He forgives our iniquities. He blots out our transgressions for his own sake, he says. Well, in the same token, we put him in remembrance for our sake.
Amen.
For our sake. Amen.
Amen.
Put me in remembrance, he said. Let us contend together. State your case. Look at that. State your case that you may be acquitted. Hallelujah. And so God wants us to state our case. Amen. Well, our case is built on the truth of God's word. That's what our case is built on. When we pray, we're stating our case. When we pray, we say, Father, you said in your word. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And we build our case and we state our case on the authority of God's word. And God says, now you've given me something to work with here. Hallelujah. God works according to his legal system that he's set up. He's not, you know, he has to. He has to. If it was just hit and miss, if he was just, flying by the seat of his pants and making this stuff up as he went, then the devil could accuse him of being unjust. But he's a perfectly just God.
Amen.
And he operates within the parameters of his word.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. And so we can state our case and build that case on the authority of God's word. I want to show you an example in the Old Testament of a king that did that. King Jehoshaphat. And we talk about him. It's an amazing account here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. King Jehoshaphat got word from his scouts that three enemy armies were coming against them. And it says, a great multitude is coming against you, O king. And he told them where they were at. And so Jehoshaphat called the nation to come together to pray and to seek God. And verse 5, this is Jehoshaphat's prayer. It says, then Jehoshaphat, he had the whole nation assembled. The Bible says that all Judah came together. It says their wives, their children, and their little ones. I mean, everybody came together to seek God. Amen. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? How did he begin his prayer? He began his prayer by talking about how big and how great God was.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
That's a good example for us.
Yes.
That's a good example for us. The way we ought to begin prayer is by talking about how big God is.
Amen.
You know, it bears repeating. I've said it before, but don't tell your problem. Don't tell God about your big problem. Tell your problem about your big God.
Amen?
Amen. So too much of the time, you know, what people bring to God as prayer is just a declaration of fear based on their problem. And they just talk the problem and talk the problem to where the problem is bigger than God in their own mind. And so we need to start our prayer by magnifying God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. All right. And so he did that. And in verse number 7, he says, "Are you not our God?" Hallelujah. He said, "You're God. You made heaven and earth. You made everything. You're the creator. You rule over the kings of the nations. In your hand there's power and might. And oh, by the way, you're our God."
Amen.
You're our God. Yes. Hallelujah. What is he doing? He's reminding himself and he's reminding God of the covenant that he has with God. You're our God. You're not the God of the Ammonites. And if they want to come over and join us and worship you too, that's fine. But you're not their God. You're not the God of these armies that are coming against us. You're our God. You're our God. Hallelujah. He knew that. "Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever?" And that's still true today.
Amen.
"And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying..." And this is what he's quoting scripture now. He's quoting when Solomon dedicated the temple. He's going back and he's quoting that. He said, "If disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand and before this temple and in your presence. For your name is in this temple, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save."
Amen.
He's quoting what he's doing. He's praying word for word. He's praying the word of God. He's praying the word that Solomon spoke in his prayer at the dedication of the temple that was written down, and he's going back and he's taking that word and he's making it his prayer before God.
Amen.
And you know the rest of the story about how God moved supernaturally. God gave them a strategy, told them what to do, told them that they needed to send the singers out ahead of the army and to praise the Lord and say, "For the Lord is good, for his mercy endures forever." And it says when they begin to sing and to praise. This is another thing about praying the word of God. When you pray God's word, after you pray, you can start praising him because you know he's heard you.
Amen.
Amen. When you pray God's word, you know you prayed according to the will of God, so you can start praising him. You can start praising him, which is what they did. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And God delivered them. God caused the enemy armies to destroy one another. And the Bible says they came down and they saw that the enemies had defeated one another, and they were 3 days gathering up the spoils. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. All right. So what was intended by the devil and by the enemy to be their destruction turned out to be their prosperity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Somebody say glory.
Glory.
Amen. All right. John 15, over in the New Testament then, in John 15, verse 7, the words of Jesus. Look at what Jesus said. "If you abide in me..." And what? "And my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
Jesus said, "You will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you." That is pretty limitless, isn't it?
Yes.
That's huge, isn't it?
Yes.
"You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you." Now, there's two stipulations here. Two stipulations to have that work for you.
Yeah.
The first one is this. If you abide in me.
Yeah.
That means you have to have a personal relationship with Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. And that means that you're living in fellowship with him.
Right.
Amen? Praise God. If you abide in me. And then the second stipulation is this. And my words abide in you. And my words abide in you. And then he says, then you will ask. Well, if his words are abiding in me, then when I ask him for something, I'm going to be praying his word to him. I'm going to be asking his words. Jesus said in another place, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What your heart is full of is what's going to come out. Amen? Hallelujah. So I have another question for you this morning, or a couple of questions. Are his words abiding in you? Are his words abiding in you? And what are you doing? What are we doing to ensure that his words are abiding in us? Are we Are we serious about that? Are we doing something daily to make sure that His words are abiding in us? I remember that getting a hold of those prayers, and man, I would get in my room and I would pray those prayers, and they would be fill in the blank prayers. It would be, you'd put your name in that place in the prayer, and I'd pray, if I was praying for myself or if I was praying for somebody else, my family or another situation, or some of my friends or whatever, you put their name in there. But man, I remember praying that and praying those prayers and going over them, and it just, boy, it just built the Word of God into you. Amen. And then it came out as prayer. Amen.
Amen.
So Jesus said, abide in me and my words abide in you, then you'll ask what you will, what you desire. So, well, Pastor, I can't believe that. Well, Jesus said it, and I'll take it up with Him. Amen. Jesus is the one that said it. Jesus said, you can ask what you desire, and it'll be, you say, wait a minute, what if I ask for something wrong? What if I ask for something? Well, here's the safeguard. If His words are abiding in you, then what you desire is going to be in line with the will of God.
Amen.
If His word is abiding in you, then your desire is going to be this matching His desire.
Amen.
So there's a built-in safeguard.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So He says, ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Verse 8. By this, we got 8 available? There we go.
Yeah.
By this, my Father is glorified. How many want to glorify God? You know what glorifies? What glorifies God is us getting answers to our prayer.
Yes.
What glorifies the Father is us praying effectively. Yes. Amen. And getting answers. He says, by this. He didn't say, by me putting sickness on you is my Father glorified. You won't find that in the Bible. By this, by what? By me abiding in Jesus and His words abiding in me and me asking what I desire and it being done for me. By this is my Father glorified.
Amen.
That you bear much fruit. That's bearing fruit.
Amen.
When we get our prayers answered, that's bearing fruit.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
That's being fruitful. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. So you will be, that's being a true disciple. Amen.
Amen.
I've shared this before, some of you know about it. But one of my sons, my second son, Jeremy, he started college in 2006. And by the time he got to his senior year, started his senior year in college, he was not in a good place at all, spiritually, emotionally. He was in a very dark place, a place of addiction, and just and not in a good place at all. And his mother and I began praying. When we found out about that, we began praying the Word of God over his life. And I've got in my Bible, I ran across it. I still have it. Here's a list of scriptures. It's one page. It's front and back. That the Holy Spirit led me to begin to pray over my son in that time when he was in that dark place, in that place of bondage. And I began to pray these over him. And this one I want to share with you today because it was the most prominent and it was the one that really spoke the strongest and was seen to be the most powerful. And it's a prayer I still pray over him today. It's Jeremiah 24, verse 6. Now, this scripture was written, this was given to the prophet Jeremiah, and Jeremiah prophesied to the nation of Judah when it was about to go into captivity. And this was a promise to them, and God said, they're going to be in captivity, but here's what I'm going to do. He said, my eyes will watch over them for their good.
Amen.
And I will bring them back to this land.
Amen.
I will build them up and not tear them down.
Yes.
I will plant them and not uproot them.
Yes.
Verse 7. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord.
Amen.
They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart.
Yes.
Now, this is what God said He wanted to do for a nation, for the people of Judah, for the nation of Judah. If God wants to do this for a nation, then certainly He wants to do it for an individual.
Amen.
Amen. So I took that word, I took that promise from God, and I thought, that fits my situation. that fits my son's situation.
Amen.
And so I would pray, and I think I'll just pray for him right now. Father, I just thank you for Jeremy. And Father, I thank you today that your eyes are watching over Jeremy for his good. And Lord, I thank you that you're bringing him back to this land. And Lord, by that, you know that I mean spiritually, this land of walking with you and knowing with you and being in fellowship with you. And Father, I thank you that you're building him up and you're not tearing him down. Father, I thank you that you're planting him and not uprooting him. Father, I thank you that you're giving Jeremy a heart to know you, that you are the Lord. I thank you, Father, that Jeremy is your son and you're his God. For Jeremy is returning to you with all his heart. I thank you for that, Father, in the name of Jesus. Praise God. That's how you do that. That's how you take the word of God, and that's how you make it into a prayer and pray it over your life or over your children or over situations. Well, that was in 2009 that I began to pray this prayer and other scriptures over him. Of course, his mother was praying for him as well and stood in faith and believed, certainly. And it didn't turn around overnight. It took years. It took about 6 years. It took about 6 years for things to begin to turn. But we just held on to the Word of God, and we continued to pray the Word of God.
Amen.
And about 3 years ago, he made a real turn, and he's been drug free, alcohol free for 3 years, almost coming up on 3 years. In a couple of months, it'll be 3 years. He's been completely free. He's got a wonderful job. He's very successful. He's doing well. And he is returning to God with all his heart.
Amen.
Hallelujah. God Amen. Is doing that. So just stay with it. You have to stay with it. But God's word works. It works when we pray the word of God over our lives and over situations. Let me give you one more scripture that we'll look at as we close here. And Reed, you can come back up if you would.
Hallelujah.
In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Praise God. How do we ask according to his will? Now, you know, before I knew the word, I would have said, oh, that just means pray. Just throw up anything. Just throw up anything and then just, you know, tag on there, if it be thy will. That's not asking according to his will. There's no confidence in that. He said, this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Well, what is his will? Well, this is called there's two parts to this Bible. The old
Testament
and the new Testament. Well, what do we know about testament in our legal system? It's called someone when they die, they if they've prepared things right, they have a last will and testament. And you read the will to find out what belongs to you, what you got, right? You know, the heirs. Amen. Glory to God. Well, this is the will and testament of our God. This is his will. God's word is his will. If we ask anything according to his will, if we ask anything according to his word, what? He hears us. Well, what does that mean? It means if we don't ask according to his word, it's like the school teacher on Charlie Brown. Remember that? Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. I mean, they could understand it, but we couldn't, right? And so it's just like that. Our prayer is like that to God. He's like, what? What did they say? And the angels are, we don't know. Yeah, we didn't hear that. But when we ask according to his will, when we bring his word, oh my, that's clear. He says, oh, I recognize that. That's my word.
Amen.
That's my word they're bringing before me.
Yes.
That's my word. I'm watching over that.
Amen.
I'm ready to perform that.
Amen.
Oh, that will not return to me void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his word, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know we have. We know we have. We know we have the petitions that we have asked of him. That's, you can't get any more confident and sure than that. Thank God. Praise God. I want to read it to you out of the Amplified. And this is the confidence Did we got the Amplified? Did we got that, Amy? Did I not give you that? I'm sorry. Oh, there we go. Okay. And this is the confidence, the assurance, the privilege of boldness. You can be bold. When you pray according to the Word, you can say, Father, you said in your Word. That's not being arrogant. That's not being demanding of God. That's the way He wants us to come. He said, come boldly.
Amen.
This is the assurance, the privilege of boldness which we have in Him. We are sure.
Sure.
Say, I'm sure.
Sure.
We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to His will, in agreement with His own plan, He listens to and hears us. Asking according to His Word is asking in agreement with His own plan. And He hears that. And if, verse 15, since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions.
Hallelujah.
In the New King James, it says, we know that we have.
Yes.
He didn't say we know we'll get.
Yes, amen.
That's where faith kicks in.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's the difference between faith and hope. Hope is important.
Thank you, God.
Hope says, it's going to be mine. Faith says, I have it.
Yes.
I have it. I have it. That's faith. That's faith. Since we positively know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know. And see, this is where this really separates most of the church world right here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Believing that we receive it.
Right.
Believing that we receive it.
Yes.
Amen. That's why I ask you, John, is it done? Is it done? Amen. Believe you receive when you pray, Jesus said, and you shall have it. You believe you receive it when you pray. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Since we know that He listens to us in whatever we ask, we also know with settled and absolute knowledge that we have granted us as our present possessions.
Yeah.
That we have granted us as our present possessions the request made of Him. Well, if I don't understand that, Pastor. If it's granted me as my present possession, but I still don't see it and I still don't feel it, how does that work? The Bible says faith is the evidence.
Amen.
Faith is the evidence.
Yes.
Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Faith is my evidence that it's mine now. Faith is my evidence that it's mine now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If you read in the will that when your uncle has passed away, and you read in the will, I have left my favorite nephew, Robert. I've left my favorite nephew, Robert, a piece of property, 2 acres of property in such and such a place in Florida. Then Robert's never been to that town in Florida, and he's never seen that piece of property. Would Robert have to say, well, I might get it one day, but I've never seen it. I can't believe it's mine unless I see it. That would be stupid, wouldn't it? That would be stupid. Robert, is it your property now? Yeah, it's mine now. How do you know? Because it's in the will. It was written in the will. He said, it's mine. He left it to me, and it's mine.
Amen.
I've got the deed to it. I've got the deed. Faith, in fact, the Amplified says faith is the title deed.
Amen.
It's the title deed.
Amen.
The title deed says it's yours whether you've seen it or not.
Amen.
The title deed says it's yours whether you've seen it or not. And if you'll believe you receive it, you shall have it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's when it manifests. That's when you believe you receive it, then it has to come to pass. It has to be manifested in your life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Listen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Let's stand up and praise Him. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Dad Hagin said it this way. He wrote a big book, actually, called What to Do When Faith Seems Weak and Victory Lost. And point number one, 10 steps to follow. Step number one is recognize the source of your problem. It's not God. It's the enemy.
Amen.
Step number two in that is this. He says, find scriptures that promise you the thing that you're asking for. Base your prayer on the Word of God. Find promises from God. So I want to encourage you now. And it's not wrong. Last week we laid hands on people for different things, and I believe things were set in motion. In fact, I want to hear some testimonies in the days ahead about that, because I believe some things were set in motion. Some miracles were set in motion. I'm not led to lay hands on anybody today, but I want to encourage you to do this. I want you to go home, and while this is fresh on your heart, I want you to take your situation, and I want you to search the scriptures. And with the Lord's help, find scriptures that cover your situation. If you'll listen to the Holy Spirit, He'll guide you.
Yes. Amen.
And He'll give you scriptures. And do what I did. I did this. You know, I've got notebooks where I've handwritten the scriptures out, and I've handwritten out a prayer, a petition. But then I've got things like this. I've got several different pages based on the different situations I'm dealing with. But pages of the scriptures like this. Find some scriptures and put them in a Word document and print it off, or however you need to do that, where you can keep it in front of you. Where you can keep it in front of you. And you can put God in remembrance of it. And you can pray the Word of God over your life, over that situation. Amen? Hallelujah. There are some things that we pray in the prayer of faith that we just pray at one time and you believe you receive. If it's about your personal need, you don't have to continue to pray and ask and ask and ask. But if you're praying for someone else and their will is involved and all that, like for instance, praying for my son, that's a prayer that I continue to pray.
Amen.
But you can still pray it in faith and you say, Lord, thank you that you're doing this. Thank you that you're doing this. But do that. Find scriptures that cover your situation and pray the Word of God over your situation.
Amen.
Amen. I am a witness that God is faithful to His Word. I am a witness that God watches over His Word to perform it in our lives. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Bonnie, you going to blow that shofar today before we go? I think now would be a good time. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is Pentecost Sunday. Thank God.